Now, take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. Chapter number 23, if you have your Bibles, we'd like for you to follow along with us today. Pray that it might be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. And I'm going to be reading several pieces of Scripture, passages of Scripture, but this morning, just for sake of time and to go ahead and begin to read, I'm just going to read verse 16. That'll be our text that we'll be looking at, and then we'll go back and pick up some more as we go through. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll follow along with us at that time. And I know and I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 16. And the mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning of the gift that David gave the Lord. It doesn't seem much, but yet it's not so much what we give as to how we give it and what we do. And so today we're going to be looking at that, and we've entitled the message today, What Will You Offer the Lord? What will you offer the Lord? Now in order to, let me just have prayer and then we'll go on. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to be here today. And I pray, Lord, that you might bless. I pray that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that you'd speak to the hearts of those that are here. Again, Lord, to the saved, I pray they be encouraged. To the lost, I pray they be saved. And Lord, I ask now that you would give me the words, the wisdom, and the help that I need today. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Somebody said, what is the greatest gift you can give the Lord? I'd have to say today, the greatest gift you'd have to give the Lord is to give yourself. And when you give yourself, you'll find out that other things that you give him will have great significance along the way. The Apostle Paul exhorts the Christians at Rome, and he said in Romans 12, verse 1, and I'm getting away, we'll come back to this passage in a minute. But Paul was saying to those at Rome, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Now, here's why Paul could say that and why he believed that. It's because he realized that we as Christians, the day that we get saved, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. Everybody said, well, I'm going to do it my way, or I want my rights, and I want this, and I want that. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God today, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. I tell you, sometimes as we think about that, we think that everything's about us. But friend, you better get to the point where you understand that everything's about God. You better put him in the place that he needs. You better serve him and worship him and give him the gifts that you have along the way. Paul again said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, what Paul is saying, well, first of all, when we get saved, we belong to God. There's a song sometime, it's been a long time since I've sung it, but it's Now I Belong to Jesus and Jesus Belongs to Me. And I'm glad today when I got saved, he took ownership of my life. And it's not so much anymore what I want, it's what he wants according to his will. The Bible said, and Paul speaking, he said, we have died to our old life, and now we become like Christ, and he lives in us. And we live by Christ, the one who gave himself for us in order that we might be saved. In 1 Peter, in verse chapter 2, verse 5, the scripture tells us, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. I don't want to elaborate right here, but I can tell you when we speak of spiritual gifts, spiritual sacrifices, what we need to understand is the sacrifice is determined whether it will be accepted by whether it's spiritual or whether it's done with the right motive and the right attitude in mind. What does the Apostle Peter say? He say, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Well, he means well, we must offer our work, we must offer our worship as expressions of our love to him. I think of the scripture that teaches us along the way, and basically we come here to where we find David offered a spiritual gift. Now, we come to chapter 23. I know it's a lot, but turn back to chapter 23 in verse number 1. David has come to a point in his life, and he's at the end of his life. And in this chapter, literally, he kind of speaks in a poem form of how God had blessed him and helped him. If you lived any period of time, and you've been saved for any period of time, you could stand today and say, glory to God, he's been good to me. He's blessed me way more than I deserve. And if he never blessed me again, I've still been blessed as much as I've still been blessed more than I deserve to be blessed. And so here's David, and I think this is such a beautiful passage. I just want to read the first five verses. He said, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And as he shall be as light of the morning, when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Now you ask the question, what's he speaking here? Well, David is thankful. He offers thanksgiving. And by the way, the Bible said when we pray, we ought to pray with thanksgiving and praise. We ought to thank God for what he's done. But he's come to the end of his life, and basically, David relays an incident that takes place, and that's where we're fixing to jump down to verse 8, to where David begins to talk about the mighty men that he had serving him. David had some good men. You remember, I think about Uriah that literally gave his life because of David's sin. Because he admired him, because he admired him so much. David was the man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But yet now we find David, he expresses his graciousness to God. But when he comes to verse 8, he talks about his mighty men. And listen, I'm going to read verses 8 through 16. And I want you to listen carefully. And in some people, without getting explanation, you're going to have a hard time grasping why in the world he would do it. But the Bible said in verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men which David had, the Tachonite that sat in the sea, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Eznite. And he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. I tell you, that's a mighty warrior and a mighty man. In verse 9, and after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can't pass it up. Won't you know he clave to the sword. I'm just going to say, just by way of passing, this right here is the sword of the Word of God. You better hang on to it. You better cleave to it. You better understand there's nothing in the world like it, like the Word of God. Literally what it means, when his hand clave to that sword for so long, defeating of the Philistines, when he got through, literally, he was not able to get his hand off of it. It was almost as if it was glued. And no doubt he had to massage his hands and get the cramp out of his hand because of what he had done. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing today if we used our Bible that way, that we kept it in our hands so long that we got through, we couldn't let go? Well, what a blessing that would be. But anyway, that's just a side note. Look at verse 11. And after him was Shemaiah, the son of Agi, and the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now here's only three of David's mighty men. But I think you'd agree with me this morning, they were mighty men, right? I'll tell you, anybody that could do that, they're a man's man. That's not the people you want to meet up in a dark alley if they've got something against you, because they just got the job done. But the Bible said in verse 14, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. The Philistines are in Bethlehem. David and his men now are holed up in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And listen, And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. They drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. They took it and they brought it to David. Now here's the part you might not understand, but I hope you will by the time I get through. Nevertheless, he would not drink it thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Now the only thing that saves us in that passage is he did it unto the Lord. I would think these men literally risked their lives, three of the mightiest men they were. They went and went down. In fact, the scripture talks about it. They broke down the garrison. They slipped inside the gate. They literally gave their life and put their life on the line to bring David a drink of water. You said, I don't know, but I cannot believe David poured it out. Why not? The reason David poured it out is because, again, he realized how unworthy he was to drink the water, maybe even because of the ones that brought it, but mainly because of what the Lord had done for him in his life. And so we find here he poured it out, but he poured it out unto the Lord. This symbolizes to me David's willingness to give unto God whatever he had at the time. You see, today David just had water, but you know, he could have took it, he could have lapped it up, he could have laid back and relaxed, but no doubt when he saw them coming, he probably was feeling a little bit guilty for having them put themselves in danger to go and get it. But when he thought about it, he said, it wouldn't even be right for me to drink it myself. And I don't have anything at this point to give the Lord. I'm holed up. I'm not able to be and do what I won't need to do. So he poured it out unto the Lord. The first thing I want you to notice, what David gave the Lord was a very common thing. Water is about as common as anything you find. Used to, you could get it for free. Now you sell it in bottles. We got bottled water out in the vestibule in case you need it. Boy, I've always thought about what could I have come up with that would have made me some money. I thought about it too late. Somebody else thought about it before I did. But somebody decided just get water and put it in a bottle and people would go crazy over it, and they have. But water is insignificant. If you're working in the yard and you get tired, you go and get you a glass of cold water. We even got ice to put in it. But the Bible said in 2 Samuel 23:15, the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. This was no easy task. And what might seem insignificant to us in David's offering, I want you to notice his offering to the Lord was simply just water. It wasn't spectacular. It was not something great. And sometimes people think that if you're going to give God something, you've got to give him some big something, something spectacular, something perhaps, and I hope not, but sometimes even to get recognition for. People sometimes like to brag about what they do for the Lord. I think we need to give to the Lord. It doesn't matter whether anybody knows about it or not. Probably better if they don't know about it. Because if we do, we're probably stealing the glory that ought to go to God. And so literally what David was doing is taking this what seemed to be insignificant water. But I don't believe David felt like it was insignificant. I believe as he gave it with his whole heart and his whole soul. Carolyn Schultz, I don't know who she is, I found this in an article. She said, in the kingdom of God, there's no score sheets. Amen. He said, menial tasks rank as high as the glamorous ones. Things are measured by the spiritual way in which they are done. They're measured by the spiritual way in what they've done. Friend, I tell you today, you can sacrifice something for God. But if your heart is not in it, you may as well not sacrifice it. In fact, the Bible tells us if we come and we give grudgingly, God loves the cheerful giver. And honestly, and I can tell you, and I believe this, and I'm not trying to discourage you from giving in the offering. But if you're not happy about it, and if you've got a grudge about it, and you think you shouldn't be doing it, you probably shouldn't be. Because the Lord is not going to honor a gift that is not a spiritual sacrifice that is given. So David takes it and he pours it out. My first thought was, what does those three guys say? It's not recorded. Don't give us any idea what they said about it. But I imagine they looked and they said, but Lord, David, we risk our lives for you. But I'm sure before it was over, they recognized what he had done and what he was saying. Notice, second of all, the substantial importance of the offering. Water may seem to be an insignificant offering to give unto God, but again, we don't always need to look for something great to do in order to show our devotion to God. I believe God's pleased with your faithfulness to the house of God. That don't take much sacrifice, does it? I mean, after all, he gave his life. Can we not give him a few hours a week to come to the house of God? Yet we find that somebody said, well, that's not doing much. No, but it honors God because you're doing what he said he wanted you to do. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all thy might. That's what he said. It's not hard for me to give him my love. Now, it might be hard for me to get my life where it needs to be, where I will give him my love and my dedication and my devotion. But ultimately, it's not in what I do, but it's in what he can do through me if I understand what he's called me to do. So if you're loving God the best of your ability, you're worshiping God, you're praising God, if you're doing all those things, God's pleased with that. That's a good offering. But if David would have poured that water out and had a grudge over it, God wouldn't have blessed it. You know what? Just every day, we ought to do the best we can. Just do the best. That's all he wants us to do, is do our best. It talks about it in Romans 12:1. He said, it's not a reasonable service, but Lord, he said, well, let me just quote it. I beseech you, therefore, brother, mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. What I'm asking you to do this morning is reasonable. I'm asking you, first of all, if you don't know Christ, get saved by the grace of God. Let him move inside of you and give you the water of life, which will set you free. But if you're here today and you're just here and you're saved, but maybe you're not living right or doing right, just understand that David gave a great sacrifice. It was not the significance of the water. The significant was the appreciation David had for God and what he had done for him. David gave the best he had at the time. Let me ask you, what about you? Are you giving the best you can all the time? Seems today that people have lost the ideas of doing that, but I'm grateful today that God deserves and desires the best we have to offer. In Psalm 63, verse 1 through 4, he said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Listen, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. David could write. He knew what he was doing. That water he had, he's the one that wrote the psalm, but yet he was exemplifying what was there, and he longed for it, but yet he knew that it was a great sacrifice because he gave it from a loving, willing heart to give God what belonged to him. May not have been much in size, may not have been significant in the eyes of others, but affection and submission of the heart, which gives it. The Bible said in the latter part of verse 16, just look down, if you would, with me, where he says, if I can find it. Well, let me just read. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. They took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink, therefore, but he poured it out unto the Lord. Is it glory for self that he did that? Oh, no. David was thirsty. David was at a low point in his life. And had he drunk the water, he would have done that for his own self. Kind of the way people live today is for their own self. But he took the water and he poured it out on the ground. Somebody said, how crazy. Nobody got the benefit. Oh, yes, they did. God got the glory. Because here's David offering the very thing, the only thing that he has at the time, in order that it might bring glory to God. Friend, today, if you give something trying to bring glory to self, just understand, give glory to God, and what you do will. So water is a common thing. Somebody said, well, I can go get a glass of water, and I'll pour it out unto the Lord. Oh, it'll have a different meaning when you do it, because your attitude and heart is not where David's attitude and heart was when he gave him the offering. Number two, it was a costly thing. Somebody said, well, preacher, you just said water was free till they started selling it in bottles. Now it ain't free no more, and it does cost you a little bit. But I'm talking about this really cost something. What did it cost? In 2 Samuel 23, verse 17, "And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" David recognized it didn't cost him anything, but it cost somebody else something. And literally, they went and offered their lives just to get him a drink of water. I don't know if it was a pitcher or if it was a jug. I don't know what it was, but I guarantee you one thing. It was inside the gate of Jerusalem. It was there, and it was there by it. The Philistines were there, and they risked their lives ultimately to give it. It's not the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives. Its importance is, again, based on the preciousness of the item. The preciousness of the item. To some fellow that's in the desert, that his throat is dry, and he hadn't had water, and he's seeing mirages, and he hadn't found no water hole yet. Let me tell you something. A glass of water, if he had $1 million in his pocket, he would give it away in an instant for one glass of water. Ultimately, the most time, the glass of water is not worth much in our eyes, but it's precious in the sight of God. It's a common thing because it's just water, but it was precious because it was purchased with a great price. It was purchased at a great price. And I think about today, all sinners and all have come short of the glory of God. All of us, we don't get what we deserve. But think about it. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and bled and died that we might have salvation. I'm excited today because one day I'm going to heaven. I'm excited today because one day I'm not going to hell. And I'm grateful for what God has done in my life years ago when He saved me by His grace. And He came into my heart and gave me eternal life. But in God's eyes, we are precious in His sight. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none good, none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, several people sometime ago said, "How you doing?" They said, "Good." And I said, "No, you're not." The Bible said, "There's none good." I'm just kidding, of course. So many of you are good in our eyes. But we're precious in the sight of the Lord. In fact, you know what it says about a saint that dies in the Lord? He said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Jesus, God's Son, shed every drop of blood for us. We didn't deserve it. And I think that's where David was. He knew he didn't deserve it. And he wanted to give God something to show His love toward him. Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed His blood in order that He might redeem us. David's offering might not seem important in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. Let me tell you, we find an illustration in the Bible of the widow woman, but just suppose today somebody came and maybe they had a dollar, and that's all they had. And they put it in the offering plate. And somebody else comes in and writes a check for $50,000 and just go ahead and help yourself. We'll meet after the service to decide how to get it to the bank. But anyway, just kidding. But it's a good illustration. They could come and give $50,000, but the difference would be within the place where their heart was at the time, what they were thinking, and if they really gave it for their benefit or gave it for God's benefit. You know what? You know, it's so good. The Bible said don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. It's better when we give to God just most time and just between us. Sometime other people will see it and know it. But listen, we don't want the glory. We want God to get the glory. Importance, because it's based upon the purchase of an item. David's offering was a common thing, but it was important because David was willing to pour it out. But he was willing to pour it out to the Lord. He wants us, again, to honor Him our best. There's a song, Giving the Best. I mean, I can't remember just how it goes. But He wants us to give our best every day that we live. Somebody said, "Well, I got to take a day off for one Sunday. I have to take one day a month, or have to take off two weeks in a month. I got to do this. I got to do that." I tell you, if we're giving our best, we'll be doing what God would have us to do faithfully in loving Him and serving Him. And somebody said, And David poured water out. Yes, sir. And David was blessed by God because he did it with the spirit of thanksgiving. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. When we truly love him, we'll give him our best. You know what? And please don't get mad or upset about it. But you know what the biggest lie we sing in church is, oh, how I love Jesus. He said, well, preacher, you sing it, and we all sing, but we all do, but we probably don't love Jesus as much as we reflect in the song. And I tell you, I'd say that would be doing something that would not please him at all. When we truly love him, we'll do our best. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, because this is the first commandment. Christ redeemed us with his precious blood. He desires to render precious service to him. David's offering was a common thing, and it was a costly thing. But notice in verse 15, it was a desirable thing. The Bible says in verse number 15, and David longed, he desired, and said, oh, that one would go give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem. I said Jerusalem a while ago, but notice the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate, that somebody would just go in. And just get me a cup of water. He longed for it. David gave an offering that he had longed for. I wonder, boy, you stop and think about it. Some of you maybe got something. And by the way, whether you do or don't, but somebody, you buy a new car and you love that car. Well, if you belong to God, you need to give it to him anyway. I'm not saying give it to him and give you the keys. He has no use for it. He gets around just fine. But the fact of it is, what if that was taking place? Remember, years ago, a lot of times we've picked up people, and I appreciate people that pick people up and bring them to church. And they said, well, I heard somebody say one time, we had some bus children. They said, well, I would take them home, but they'll mess up my car. Well, I tell you what, I don't like my truck being messed up. But you know what? If it's for Jesus, I'll do whatever I need to do, and I'll do it without a grudge. I'll do it willingly. Three hard things to offer God. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, our time. Our time. All he wants is our time. We hardly give him any time. I think today of how it's so important that we give him time by being where we need to be and serving him and loving him like we ought to. Somebody wrote this. I like it. Just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. But eternity is in it. And friend, today, that's all God asks for you, is to give your time to him to show your love. We offer him much, but it's our time he wants us to have. Oh, I got to do this. I got to rest this Sunday. I got to do this. I can't do that. Friend, you can do what you want to do, what you desire to do, and God deserves our praise and glory for what he's done for us. I think today how unworthy I am. And even the time that I waste, that I don't give God as much time as I need, or he needs. But he'll bless you for it. Number two is our talents. In 1 Peter 4:10, Peter in this verse says, as every man hath received the gift, so minister the same as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's blessed many of you. He's blessed all of you with a gift if you're saved. I don't know what it is. It may just be praying. It may be an encourager. I don't know what it is, but I believe everybody has a gift. And God uses those gifts or wants us to use the gift to minister to others and be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every believer has been entrusted by God with a gift of his talent. He should use it, not to glorify himself, but to glorify God. I tell you, y'all know how I feel. And we've talked about it before, and I think just the other week I said something about it. I am just a sinner saved by the grace of God, and I owe my life to him. I tell you, I owe my life to him because of what he's done for me. And I never want it to be about me. I want it to be about God. I want him to be lifted up. I want him to get the glory. And friend, if anything that I do helps that in any way, to God be the glory, great things he's done, and praise the Lord for it. The most important thing in life is to find the gifts we have. Second of all, to recognize that they are from God. And thirdly, to be faithful and dependable in using them. Anything that is not used will not develop, somebody said. Somebody talked to a piano player one day, and she said, you know, might have been Amy, I don't know, but they said, you know, I must practice every day. If I don't practice one day, I know the difference. But if I don't practice 2 days, those that hear me know the difference. And I think today, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Don't take that in personal. And I don't imagine it's hard to even practice every day. I know. But what I'm saying is, there's people that have talents that God has given to you. I know people that years ago, they could play the piano. They could sing. Boy, there's just so much they could do. But today, they don't do them anymore. Simply because, obviously, they've not used what God's given them. What a blessing is. I ran to a lady the other day, and she was telling me she'd been playing the piano in the church for a good number of years. But we need to give him our time. We need to give him our talents. Thirdly, we need to give him our testimony. In Psalm 107, verse 2 and 3, these verses clearly tell us to offer our testimony as a witness to this world how God changed their life. You know what? The majority of people is not going to come into Victory Baptist Church and get saved. It just don't happen anymore. It used to happen more often than it does now. And I encourage people, this is the time to get saved. When you hear the Word of God, let God have His way in your life. But people's going to be won to Christ by your testimony and what you reflect when you're out in this world and around this town. I want to have a good testimony. And if I don't have a good testimony, then it's going to hurt me in the long run. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm grateful today. What a wonderful thing it is to have our testimony. But God wants a good testimony. He wants a clean testimony. He wants it to be above reproach. All true testimony is the testimony of Jesus Christ. As He stands on trial before the world today, the people will judge us. I know the Bible said, judge not one another and all that. But the world, the lost, and even some Christians are going to judge us, for they don't even know what they're talking about, and we don't need to give them anything to where they can be recognized as being doing something that we should not do. David's offering was a common thing. It was a costly thing, and it was a desirable thing. David wanted some water. I can't imagine, as long as he had longed for it. And when he saw those men risking their lives, I can't imagine him taking it and pouring. Oh, yes, I can. Because David loved God with all his heart. He was a man after God's own heart. Somebody said, but David sinned enormously. He did some of the wickedest things there were in the Bible. Yeah, but read the Psalms and you'll find out David knew where to go when he sinned. He knew to go to the feet of Jesus to bow down before him, confess his sin, and make it right with God. And friend, when you do that, God will forgive you. And He'll bless you and help you along the way. Number four, quickly, consecrated thing. 2 Samuel 23:16. David, we've said it many times today, but David poured it out unto the Lord. Consecration is a matter of will, whether you choose to be consecrated or not. Somebody said, well, I love God, and I love church, and I love to read my Bible, and I love to pray, but I just, you know, preacher, there's only one life to live. You're right. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Now remember, we're not going to be living in heaven for 63 or 73 or 83 years. We're going to be living in heaven forever and ever. And we better make an investment down here, in my case, in 73 years, because it's going to be a long time in eternity to experience the things that we'll experience there and understand that it ought to be given as a matter of our will. David longed, and he said, oh, that one would give me drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. When they were preparing to build Solomon's temple in 1 Chronicles 29:5, we read, and who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who is willing? Are you willing today? Somebody said, preacher, that's one of Sunday night messages. Now you're getting personal. Well, it's Sunday night message is good for everybody. And today, you understand, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but it breaks my heart to see people that want to serve God, but yet their life does not reflect it in many ways. Are you willing to offer the best that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ? What hinders you from giving Christ your all? Whatever it is that hinders you, you need to get rid of it. You need to get away from it because He deserves our attention and our praise. Throw it off. F.B. Meyer said this, thousands of Christians are like waterlogged vessels. They cannot sink, yet they're saturated with so many inconsistencies, worldliness, and little permitted evils that they can only be towed with difficulty into the celestial port. What a great thing F.B. Meyer said. Consecration is a matter of the will. Consecration is a matter of the heart. David said in Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Man, I'm going to tell you today, and I don't know, God's really speaking to me, and I really believe that it's important that you understand. But y'all, we live so good. When Brother Paul comes from Africa, ask him how they're living over there. Haiti, they bandit people that are from America that are there. They tell them to get out. There's all kind of things. And I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful to live in America. I'll tell you, it's not perfect. But I tell you, I'd rather live here than any place I know. And you know what? God had something to do with me being here. In fact, He had all to do with me being here. And if He had all to do with me being here, I need to offer Him all the praise and glory that I possibly can. Yet, no doubt, even in our minds and our lives, we've gotten away from dedication and faithfulness to God in our life and doing what He would have us to do. What about you? What are you willing to give? God's love, mercy, and grace has given us all we possess. I tell you today, I know God, listen, everything you got could be gone today. Ask Job when you get to heaven. Job can tell you what it's like to lose everything. But I'm going to tell you today, the things that are most precious to us, we better understand God gave them to us. And we better understand that only God is in control of all that we do. I want to give Him my best. God spoke to me as I prepared this message. I feel sometimes lacking in a lot of ways. But I want you to know today, I want to give the Lord my very best. Everything is holy that is given to the Lord, even water on the ground. It was holy. If we give it to God out of a heart of love, then God will be pleased with our offering. In Romans 12, 1, again, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. David's offering was a common thing. It was a costly thing. It was a desirable thing. But it was a consecrated thing. And then lastly, it was an irrevocable thing. When David poured that water out, there wasn't no retrieving it. There wasn't no more putting it back in the glass so he'd have a drink. When he gave it, he sacrificed everything that he had. He poured the water out, and it was irrevocable. The Bible said in verse 16b, nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, and he poured it out unto the Lord. Here's David. He longed, he desired, he wanted it. Just like today, we want things in the world. We desire them and we want them, and it doesn't matter what we do, we're going to get them. But yet, he took it and he poured it on the ground. When's the last time you poured something that precious out in honor and worship to the Lord? He said, it's just water. Oh, it's not just water. It was a water that cost something. It was a water that was common, costly, desirable, and consecrated, and he couldn't retrieve it. You know why? Because we belong to God. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are His. I told you that to start with. If you're saved, we belong to Him. He controls our life. He chastens us when we don't do right, but He blesses us when we honor Him. David poured the water out as an offering of the Lord. Once he poured it out, wasn't no retrieving it. we are bound by love. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, for the love of Christ, this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Listen carefully. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all men were dead. And that he died for all, and that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I want you to say that little phrase, for the love of Christ constraineth me. You see, today, somebody said, well, I don't like your preaching today. You're saying things that I don't want to hear. And you may not, but the truth of it is, today, we must understand, I'm not trying to get you to do anything you don't want to do. Do you understand that? Listen, if it bothers you, the Bible said if you're saved, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if you're saved, nothing, you ought not be offended anything the Word of God says. But understand that when we come to this point, I want you to be constrained by Christ. When I give the invitation in a minute, I want the Holy Spirit to be working on your heart. If you're not saved, I want Him to push you out of in the aisle and you walk down here and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. For those of you that are saved, I'd love to see the altar filled. And I don't want you to come because I'm saying this, and I don't want you to come just to encourage me. But if God moves you, we ought to be coming to this altar and saying, Lord, I really do love you. I love you in a great way. Notice the words, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I can tell you all the things the Bible has to say, what you ought to do and how you ought to do it, but you'll never do it until you're constrained by the love of Christ. When you realize what He's done for you and realize what He will do for you, there ain't nothing going to hold you back. You can let go and let God have His way. It should be the power, His power, that motivates us in all our conduct. Christ's love is bestowed to us because of His willingness to die for our sin. It should motivate us who are truly born again to offer ourselves. It's sad today, but honestly, are we serving the Lord the way we ought to be serving Him? Church today is not to edify us. Church today is to edify the Lord Jesus Christ and lift Him up, see Him glorified. What do you need to offer? A living sacrifice unto Him. Here's the meaning of sacrifice, is the deliberate giving of your best, giving the best that I have to God, that He may make it His own and mine forever. If I cling to it, I lose it, and so does God. The matter of the sacrifice, Oswald Chambers said that. God has given the mankind the greatest sacrifice there is. We've been saved, we ought to serve Him. But truly, if we love Him, we will serve Him, and we'll do it with a whole heart. What will you offer the Lord this morning? The Bible said when we got saved, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things have become new. Simply today, the invitation is going to be in just a moment, but here's what it is. I don't know your status, and I don't know your relationship with Christ, and I don't even know if you have one. But if you don't, that's all right, because that can be taken care of today. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Christians, have you been giving Him your best? If we all look back in our lives, there was days that we were gung-ho. We were excited about serving the Lord. But, you know, COVID didn't help. He kind of put water on the fire. And now we find ourselves twiddling our thumbs rather than doing what Christ would have us to do. I pray today by the grace of God that if God spoke to your heart, you'll respond to the invitation and let God have His way in your life.